Hey, you want that to go?
Here at the News Takeout Counter this morning, we've got Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times, and Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, sports contributor. We've also got some of your voices coming up in just a moment. Let's begin with you, Louise. So the poor Federal Reserve, right, they're so huge, they can print dollars, they have so many of them, and when they try to do something quietly, it doesn't work out that way. What's going on?
They're especially huge now that they've been really holding up the housing market. Just this year, they've bought more than $1 trillion of mortgage-backed securities.
So the so-called, and these are just a class of the so-called toxic assets that came out of the bank, or maybe not toxic, but questionable assets. The Fed has been buying them.
Well, so these are actually new mortgages that have been being made for the large part. How this works is basically you get a mortgage.
Right.
It's backed by Fannie. It gets bundled into a bond. Usually those bonds were sold to private investors, but there's no private appetite, so the Fed has been buying it. It's making the housing market go.
The subprime crisis got rid of that whole security market, so the Fed has been serving as the substitute.
That's right.
Now they're trying to back out of this icky business.
The question is there going to be a private market that will step in? And the other thing that they're trying to do is just shrink this massive portfolio that they've built up. Their balance sheet is now more than $2 trillion. It's never been this big. And so they're afraid, though, if they sell off these bonds, that it's going to cause really a downward push in the market, maybe panic. So what they're going to do is they're going to lend them out. And they're hoping that that'll be a way they can ease out of this.
But how do you lend out a loan?
Well, actually, there's a market. It's a very complex thing called the repo market. They do this all the time. But it's unprecedented to have to have the government draw out of something like this. And it kind of reminds me of, you've got this balloon. It's very tight with air. They're trying to put air in one side, take it out of the other, all the while not popping the balloon. It's very tricky.
And it's unclear whether they can actually pull this off.
It's unclear. We're facing more foreclosures coming up. And if they don't get out nicely and quietly and without causing panic, we could have another problem.
A huge story that affects every homeowner.
Every homeowner.
Mortgage who wants to get a mortgage as well. Thank you, Louise. Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for the New York Times.
Okay, let's talk about sports with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. So we have two undefeated teams relatively late in the season.
Yes.
Tell me about the game last night. The New England Patriots, everyone thought this would finally be a real challenge for the Drew Brees and the Saints. Did not turn out that way.
Well, it started off pretty good, but the Saints took over very quickly. They won 38-17 last night.
And now like a Super Bowl game.
That improves their record to 11-0, which is quite possibly one of the best records the Saints have ever had as a franchise. But a couple of things surprised me last night. Number one, that Drew Brees threw five touchdowns to five different players, and two of those players, Marquise Colson and Devery Henderson, both had over 100 yards receiving. That's a really amazing game.
Another thing is,
you ever hear of a guy named Brian Hoyer?
No.
Brian Hoyer? Anyone? No.
Sure.
Because I've heard of him. Because he was the guy that came in for the Patriots at the end of the game when the Patriots conceded defeat and took Tom Brady out. That's a big surprise. When was the last time you saw Bill Belichick essentially concede defeat to another team? That's pretty spectacular.
How did the cutaways to Belichick's face look in the game last night? I had to go to bed.
I think it looked pretty much what he looks like all the time.
miserable.
For listeners, Bill Belichick is the coach for the New England Patriots, and he always wears a sweater with a hoodie that's kind of like rough and tough looking, like if he had big muscles, but he just never smiles. He's always got a scowl on his face, and even when he wins and when he loses. So, yeah.
He looks like the bouncer to the world. He could just eject you out into space. That's the nasty look on his face.
Well, he did eject Tom Brady eventually.
He took him out, but I think also Sean Payton, who's the coach of the New England for the Saints, he in a sense outcoached Bill Belichick. And I think what we're seeing is a passing of a guard right now. What's happening in the NFL, where a different Tom Brady, which is the new Drew Brees, is taking over as the mantle of the sharpshooter, the gunslinger, the best quarterback in the league.
He's also a beloved player, in addition to being a star, kind of a superstar.
Yeah.
Players love to play with him.
Yeah.
They do.
Well, quickly, we have a little bit of time left, but let's real quickly mention Allen Iverson, because we just recently heard he was retiring, and now he may not be?
So he played for the 76ers for a long time.
Right.
He was
10-time
a star
NBA
in Georgetown.
All-star.
Exactly. He was an all-star. He was an MVP. He led his team to the finals. Then he went to the Pistons. Then he went to Denver. Then he went to Memphis. And then he was like, I'll play for anybody.
Wants him,
exactly.
Yeah.
Now the 76ers are interested in him again. Yesterday they had a 2-hour meeting, and we don't know yet what the results were, but perhaps Allen Iverson will be a 76er again.
Once again, he'd probably be happy to do that. Thanks to Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen for that sports
story. Wait, Karine, stay, okay?
Yep.
You're going to check this out. All right, it's not about sports. It's about you talking yesterday about your impending nuptials, okay? A lot of listeners are weighing in on your hunt to find a conflict-free engagement ring for your fiancé. Yesterday, Takeaway contributor Beth Kobliner gave you this advice.
If you want to find a diamond that's from a place they're not abusing people or they're not those other issues that we've been talking about, then you're going to have to do some homework.
And you've been doing the homework, right? And
definitely.
You described a little bit of this process. We've been getting lots of personal stories from people wanting to share how they avoided it. Nicole from Brooklyn emails mytakeitthetakeaway.org. My husband was shopping for our engagement ring last year. He knew I didn't want a new diamond for fear of contributing to the conflict diamond market. He decided on an antique ring. For me, it was the best choice.
And one of you thinks you should just avoid buying diamonds altogether. Rick writes to our site, thetakeaway.org. The diamond engagement ring is nothing more than a marketing scheme embraced by American women who measure their material haves with their girlfriends. My man loves me 2 carats. Yeah, well, my man loves me more for 4 carats. And in case you missed last Sunday's 60 Minutes, can Ibrahim be sure his gold is not from the Congo?
That was great. Did you see that story?
I did see
You heard that story.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's about conflict gold from the Eastern Congo.
Do you know where your gold came from?
It's very disturbing, but I don't know where it came from.
All right. Here's an idea from Rena, who writes to our site. My boyfriend and I didn't want to buy into any of the stereotypes at all, so we bought recycled gold bands from Green Carrot and proposed to each other. We are now engaged after a sweet, mosquito-bitten personal ceremony in a buggy bog.
That was my advice to Ibrahim, is go check out Green Carrot. You can keep this conversation going. Let us know what you think at 8778-MYTAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
What did you do in the end, Ibrahim?
Well, I ended up getting a non-conflict diamond, and now I just had to give it to her.
All right. Yeah. Hope she says yes, dude.
Coming up, you seems like your premiums won't go up under the proposed health care bill. We're going to talk about the numbers from the Congressional Budget Office in a moment.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.